proverb talks about a man blessing his neighbor early in the morning. So we'll talk about that sometime.
I give God the glory today to be here a second time. I was here in 2013, and I've constantly remembered the warm fellowship that was accorded me that time. Since that time, I've kept the race, kept the faith, pardon me, and running the race. And together with my family, we love the Lord, even as we serve Him and serve His people. Preaching the gospel in the opportunities available to us, and we are diligently seeking to honor Him alone in our ministry and calling. Receive greetings from my family. They are quite aware that I'm here this morning, and the church that we pastor, that is in Eldoret. In spite of the challenges that happens in the world, darkness is in the world everywhere, and it's like it's increasing day by day. When my wife called me this morning,
something's wrong with your mic.
Something is wrong.
Okay,
I got muted.
Yeah.
There we go. I just received a phone call, and Pastor Martin already said that. Oh. In spite of all that, God still remains to be God. God has not changed because of the things that happened to us. And we still praise Him. I just talked to my wife. Okay, talk to the people. 75 chairs stolen. Anything of that nature can happen to anybody. But we still love Him and praise Him. So they will figure out next Sunday whether the service is still, whether people stand. And is it not Paul that said that we are ready in season and out of season? So this morning, I choose not to think about that. I choose to bless the Lord in all things. And somehow, one way or the other, the 75 chairs stolen will still, others will still be found. But everybody is fine. We bless the Lord for what He's doing. Again, it was a privilege having Martin and Ruth come to us. And I'm sure they have a feel, a little bit of what we do. And I was so honored to have you in our country. Looking forward to kind of sweet talk, Jerry, about that. But we will talk about that another time. I wanted to show you a little bit of what we do in ministry, some of the opportunities that God has given to us, and I just want to run a slide here in a very short while. Did you see I turn it on here? The side. Oh, the side.
That's on.
Okay.
And then that advances a slide.
For some of you that you may be seeing that for the first time, I leave right there. The pointer there, I'm trying to get it. Whatever.
Yeah, this little red button.
The red button?
Yeah.
Yes, I read a book that somebody says it's hard for him to get something into his head, but once he gets it, Eldoret is right there, an elevation of about 8,000 feet above sea level, very high, very good place, close by the equator. And to the west, we have Uganda, and to the southwest, we have Tanzania. You must have heard of the messy Somalia. A lot of things have happened in those countries around that place because of that country there. The Al-Shabaab terrorist groups live there. And most of the Somali people and refugees are in Kenya, somewhere by the north. You remember of the pirates that used to hijack all these big ships and demand big money, ransom of millions of dollars. that money when they were pushed out from the seas by, I think, by the Americans and the French. That money is being spent somewhere in the country. And it was a lot of money. So they are buying people off. And today in Eldoret, you cannot get a piece of property if you like along the major highways, an eighth of an acre, you can't get it anywhere less than $25,000 US. Because of the money they got from the high seas, and now for the sake of money laundering, they cannot keep those billions in the bank. They want to spread it somewhere. At the same time, the Boston Marathon, the athletes that come here, you hear about them. They come do the races here. Eldoret is their hometown. So if they do one race, and out of one race, you win like, paid like $2 million, besides the contract you sign with companies like Sony and things like those. So a lot is happening in Eldoret, and it has pushed the property value way up. So an eighth of an acre anywhere. In fact, that's not even along the major highways, way far from the major roads. You can't get an eighth with less than $25,000 US, mainly because of Somalia, primarily. But it's a good place. That's the name of our ministry, Foundation Chapel. God gave us a mission to bring in, fulfilling the Great Commission. Go ye. So bring them in, build them up, that they may, we turn them out and they can do the same work that we have taught them. We do a lot of discipleship in that case. That is my family. And I guess those guys are handsome. I'm telling you. Right there is my wife, Karen. And that is Praise. Praise just turned 20. And she's doing her first year in the university. Emmanuel is 14 in the ninth grade. And Teddy is 12 in the sixth grade. I might have told you about his accident last time. I don't know how to repeat it. But God healed them. I told you the last time that a car ran over him twice. They were playing and somebody pushed him. He fell under. So the vehicle ran over him. And while he stuck right under the tire, engaged the reverse gear and ran him a second time, over him a second time. The boy had very serious fracture. The rare bone on his right thigh, which broke, pierced through the flesh, and it was just hanging there. God healed them, and we praise God for what he's able to do. In the recent past, God has given us the opportunity to share the gospel in the prison. This is one of the prison, about 1,700 people there. And we've been doing this in the last 3 years. Storming the doors of prison with the word of God. That's just still the same prison. One of the people, our brothers in charge that we work with. Oh, just go back a little bit on that. Last year alone, we were able to do 15 prison crusades last year. And we reached pretty much above 15 or 14,000 something people. And about 9,000 of them responded to the Lord. And that's something we need to pray for. And we thank God for the opportunity. It's usually very hard to go into prison, even here. I think the other day I was in prison in Broad River. Right here, and I had the opportunity to visit your prisons here. Prayed with a man who has been locked in for 28 years and is 50. Meaning most of his life is spent in the prison. Look at the response. These guys, they don't mind kneeling down and calling on the name of the Lord. That's a women prison. And some of them, these women had children there. Some of them, like, let's say they were arrested, they were expecting. And a child is born or is younger than 4 years, they are allowed to have children in that prison. There would have been like 60 children in this prison. Those prisons don't have a carpet like this. You're given two blankets, and that's one you spread on the floor and one you use to cover yourself. I walked into the prison here the other day. Prison is prison, but at least they are better off than these guys. They have mattresses there. These people don't. So after 4 years, the child must be removed from prison either by the family, and once in a while, as the Lord blesses us, we go to minister to them and also take some supplies to those children and the ladies. Besides just doing a prison crusade, after we are done, sometimes we get one-on-one with some of them. I was talking to this brother here. This man came up and he told me, "I want to talk to you, Pastor." So I got down to listen to him, and turning his life to the Lord, he was moved to make a confession. He said, "Nobody really knew what brought me here. Somebody stole my chicken. I became so angry about him, and I beat him up and I killed him." So he murdered a man because of just stealing a chicken. And realizing that he didn't even have to do that, after the light of the gospel shone on him, he decided to make that confession and change his mind. He's not a very good brother. He's still in prison, but a very good brother, really growing in the Lord. Through Heralds of Hope, sometimes we go in and share, not only preaching, but we share, we give them some Bibles. Those are Swahili Bibles for the sake of those people that English is not pretty well known to them. And these are the Bibles that we received from Heralds of Hope. We received two skits that would have been 2,000 copies of Bibles. And these Swahili Bibles, we buy them just there. And one costs $12 if you buy one. If you buy like 500 of them, Bible societies can sell you one for $10 each. And this was a large prison. 2,000 people in there, and we have 50 Bibles. Sometimes you ask a question, how do you distribute 50 Bibles amongst 2,000 people? So what we do, we put those Bibles in the hands of cell group leaders so that about 40 or so people can come around one man to study God's Word. We've shared some Bibles and some tracts that we have the permission from Heralds of Hope to translate into Swahili. Those are still the same Bibles, and we take them to prison, and to some churches also have need of them, and schools. Through Heralds of Hope, we got the permission to print these things in the country to avoid the shipping cost. You receive a box of these things, just tracts, and sometimes you, before you receive them from the mailbox, you have to go through customs, and they want to charge you just for tracts. So we are able to translate them and print them in the country. We got the permission from Heralds of Hope to do so. And we print like 10,000 copies, 5,000 in English and 5,000 in Swahili. That's Hope News. And the choice is yours. One man read just one of this, "The Choice is Yours," and he was jailed for 13 years for dealing in drugs. And that's what turned his life to the Lord. He made a personal choice. And so God can be able to use anything, even like those trucks there. And we've been so pleased to have the opportunity to share those trucks in the prison. Besides the prison crusades, we do such kind of meetings. And don't you think that guy is handsome? That was me preaching in 2015. There's an open crusade we did. About 7,000 people listening to the gospel for 5 days. Yeah, and those doors are still open, and we thank God for them. We do ministry in school. This is a girls' school, different schools, and we've been going to schools a lot, got the permission to share the gospel in schools, and we realize, ladies and gentlemen, that this is a potential right here, these young people. If we don't give them the purpose and meaning in life through the Word of God, somebody else is going to give them something to think about. So to have the chance to share the gospel in schools and take the Bibles, again, the number is so big. Some schools would have like 2,000 students. So we just take maybe a few copies and give to the Christian Union that they can be able to use as school property. That's our new church plant. That's where we are worshiping. We rented this building here, and that's where we used to conduct our services. And by the end of October last year, the building was sold and the new owner didn't want nobody there. So we received a letter from the new owner, from his lawyers, that everybody is required to leave in 30 days. We were wondering, where do we take the people? In 30 days, it was so hard with the issues of land thing in Kenya, in Eldoret. But a brother was kind enough, he allowed us to use his property where we started to build a church. Those are some of the children in church. To the left, they were getting ready to go for a tour somewhere during vacation. This is just during church service. I think they were presenting something. After we were given a letter to leave in 30 days from that building, a brother gave us this piece of property here. That block is his. And from this tent, front of it, there is no other building. So we put a tent there and the wind blew it off. We raised it up a second time and it was blown off again. Right as we watched, it was around 11 o'clock in the morning. So everybody went to the one corner and said, let's fasten the metals on the ground so that it doesn't go. But I realized the wind was so strong, we're going to be parachuted up. So we said, okay, brothers, don't get hurt. Let the tent go. So it was messed, torn, broken. And by the time I was coming here, it's a month ago, all our grace and ability, we started building that. And we were only able to put one row of sheet metal on it. And we were like, the rain just got started. How are people going to worship here being rained on? Thanks be to God, at least it's been covered. And that is the place that Martin was saying this morning. They walked in and stole all the 75 chairs that we have in there. But the service was still conducted. The gospel was preached. And maybe somebody gave their life to the Lord. I don't know. But we give God the glory. That's basically what we do in Kenya. And thanks be to God, as you take interest in praying with us. Our long-term goal and need is the brother that gave us that piece of property allowed us to use it for 2 years. Our long-term goal is that someday God would help us to find a place that we can call our own, build church and build a place of worship. It's hard to do ministry if you are constantly moving. And with the things we do like schools, ministry, discipleship, we need to believe God for property that we can be able to do church. The Lord bless you. I want to share God's word this morning briefly. And if you would open your Bibles with me in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9. Deuteronomy chapter 7. I read quite a few more verses in different books. I want to share something that I believe will be of help to us today if we receive it by faith. Deuteronomy chapter 7, and let's go to verse 9. The word of God has this to say, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God. I like that word, the faithful God. And I tell people that if that Bible in your hand is yours, you can underline the word faithful. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keeps his commandments to 1,000 generations. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, if you don't mind, just want to run through a couple of verses here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9, God is faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 9, God is faithful. By whom you are called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. I want to talk about resting in God's faithfulness this morning. Resting in God's faithfulness. What would you do in life when your prayers and your requests don't seem to be answered? Suppose somebody asked you, why would you still keep trusting in God? What would be your response? Because we, all of us, I believe, we often come to a moment in life when we are kind of like asking, in that situation, this and the other, we come to the moment in life when we feel like maybe you are alone. Maybe there was nobody to answer to your plea. Or sometimes we come to the moment, if you're really human being and not trying to be an angel, there are times when you feel like things are not just working. I've come to that moment in life. There are times when it's like you're praying and your prayer hits the ceiling and just bounces back on you. There are times when you feel like there is no light enough to lighten up your path. What about those times when you feel like you are alone and nobody seems to be close and nobody seems to understand what is happening in your life? And very often, all of us, if we are honest indeed, we come to such moments in life that sometimes we question whether we still or is still worthy to trust or to continue trusting in what we seem to believe. But I want to talk to us about some of the things that I believe makes God to be faithful, and they become a proof why we can rest in His faithfulness. Because the Bible says, know ye therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God. Realize the Bible begins saying by He's the faithful God, not just faithful, but the faithful God, which keeps the covenant and mercy with them that love Him. Now when we're talking about the faithfulness of God, it's like we are talking about one of the attributes of God. And He says in Psalm 119, you may not open there, but you could just write it down if you are. Psalm 119 verse 90, the word of God says, thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth and it abideth. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. God is not just faithful today, God has been faithful even before. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 24, it says, faithful is He that calleth thee, who also will do it. Now, I like that word, that is, He's the one that has called us, or the one that is calling us, is faithful, and He is also going to do it. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 19. Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God. Again, realize when you suffer according to the will of God, not that you suffer because of your wickedness, but you suffer according to the will of God, commit the keeping of their souls. When you undergo situations that you know, well, this is perhaps the will of God, at that time, you commit your soul to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How about 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 11? 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 11 says, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. But verse 13, if we believe not, yet He abideth faithful, He cannot deny Himself. What does it mean to talk about God's faithfulness? When we talk about the faithfulness of God, simply means this, He always does what is just. When we're talking about God's faithfulness, we are simply saying God is always doing what is just. And sometimes We don't even feel like what God is doing would be just. But everything that God ever does, he would still be faithful in doing it. It also means he always does the right thing about everything, about every situation. God does no mistakes, and God does not miss out on his targets. Brothers and sisters, this morning, we are talking about resting in the faithfulness of God. It also means he fulfills every single promise he ever makes. Sometimes as human beings, we promise people things and we fall short. Or people promise us things and they forget or they change their minds. But God is not a man, he says. Even if we deny him, he cannot deny himself. He still remains faithful. What are we saying? I want us to receive God's word this morning that we can rest in the faithfulness of God. Regardless of how things going on for you, regardless of what is not happening, it can be a situation of your health, it can be a situation of relationship, it can be a situation that touches finances, whatever it is, God would still be trusted if we choose to. I like the word that know you therefore that the Lord thy God is he, the faithful God. And he keeps the covenant and mercy with them that love him even to 1,000 generations. Today as I look at all of those scriptures, they are all pointing to us about the attribute of God which is faithfulness. We can trust in God and we can trust in his faithfulness, knowing that he's not a man to change his mind. Knowing that he's not a son of man to lie. When people fail us, that's fine, they're human beings. God is not man to change his mind. And therefore, whatever God said, you can put trust in that, that he's going to do it. Sometimes, when issues don't stick in the manner that we expected them to be, sometimes we kind of like try to wander around in our minds whether I should still continue trusting. But God's faithfulness can be trusted. Regardless of where you are, regardless of the position you find yourself in, God's faithfulness can be trusted by all. And why would we trust in God's faithfulness? What are some of the proofs that he is a faithful God? The first thing I found out is that for God to be faithful, he must be omniscient. He must be omniscient. I think that's talking about knowing everything, knowing every situation about me for him to be faithful about it. Now, human beings may not know everything. A pastor may not know everything. They are limited, but God is not. For God to be faithful, he must have the capability of knowing everything and about everything. And this morning we can trust in him. The Bible says to us in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 3, talk no more so exceedingly proudly. Let not arrogance, that's King James, come out of your mouth. For the Lord is God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. God knows what we are undergoing because he's omniscient. And him being so, we can trust him, we can trust his faithfulness. He knows about us, he knows about what we need, he knows about our situation. God is all-knowing, and there is nothing hidden in him. So for God to be faithful, he ought to be omniscient. And I bet that we can trust him that he knows everything. He knows about you more than you know about yourself. He knows about what you're going through and maybe even what you have not even known yet. And so God knows about it. That's why we can trust him that even then, when we get into that point in life, he would still be faithful. The second thing that proves his faithfulness, he must be omnipotent. I mean, God must be all powerful to handle every situation. What is the Bible saying in 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 11? He says, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted and as thou art exalted as head above all." Why would I talk about resting in God's faithfulness? There are proofs. God is all powerful, capable of handling each and every situation. He cannot be faithful if there would be something that he cannot do. He cannot be faithful if I would entrust him with something about my life and about my family and he fails to respond to it. God is all powerful and therefore he can be trusted in his faithful, in his faithfulness. What is that thing that God cannot do? There is absolutely none. God is able to do all things. The third thing about the proof of his faithfulness that God is everywhere. He is faithful here. He is present here. Just like he is present in Africa where they have stolen 75 chairs. And I'm not looking at that as a failure on his side. God would still be there and is still able to do whatever he wants to do. The loss of 75 chairs don't remove him from being there. He is everywhere. He's omnipresent. And once we can be able to align our minds to that fact that God would be there in each given place, I can trust in his faithfulness. That should be able to bring us to a point in life that we can rest in his faithfulness. Why? Because he's going to be there in every place. What does the Bible say in Psalm 97 verse 5? Psalm 97 verse 5, the word of God says, "The hills melted like works at your presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord." The hills melted just like works at the presence of the Lord, and at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. So this is not a God of Africa alone, it's the God in the United States, it's the God in Asia. The Bible refers to him as the Lord of the whole earth. My brothers, we can trust in the faithfulness of God and we can rest in that faithfulness knowing one thing, that is God everywhere. Wherever you go, David one time said, "Where shall I go that I may run away from your presence?" He said, "If I go deep down and put my bed there, you'd still be there." There is nowhere you can run into that God's presence would be there. And God's faithfulness makes us to rest with this one understanding that it's God who is everywhere. This morning you can receive that word and see God as a God that we can trust in his faithfulness. Something else that I saw that defines his faithfulness, what makes me to rest in him, is this. He must be a truthful God. Titus chapter 1, if you read from verse 1, Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Look at that word. God who cannot lie. Human beings lie a lot sometimes. We speak things that we are not even probably committed about. But God who cannot lie. The Bible says in hope of that eternal life, which God that cannot lie promise. Whatever God promises, he exactly just means that. We can rest in the faithfulness of God. Why? Because he is a truthful God. when people change their minds and they can no longer stick together, they can no longer keep the family, and that breaks the heart and it breaks the relationship and heart is crushed, God's faithfulness can still be trusted. Why? Because he's a God who is truthful. To finish this, resting in the faithfulness of God, I saw something else, the immutability of God. People change, we change, situations change, information change, but God remains the same. If people have broken your heart before, it's simply because they change. But if we trust in God today by his word, it's because we understand today he is immutable. What does the Bible say in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't know what else can have such credentials as the God of the Bible does. I don't know who in the world, which president of any country stands to prove and to qualify for such credentials. People, even presidents and leaders and kings of this world change. And sometimes they lie. But the Bible says to me, Jesus Christ in whom we have put our trust in him, he's the same yesterday, he's the same today, and he's the same forever. For us, we constantly change. But I like what Paul says, constantly we being changed from one glory to another glory, trying to become like him, because if we are changed towards him and not away from him, we begin to understand his faithfulness and we can rest in him. I don't know where you are right now, and I don't know what situation of life you are in right now, looking at all those scriptures, such a tremendous proof from the word of God that we can rest in the faithfulness of God. You may be unwell in your body, but even through that, you can still say, I will still trust God. Each morning you can get up and looking at what is happening, everything around you may not be the way you expected, but you can still get up and throw up your hands and say, I'm still trusting God. I'm still a believer in the fact that Jesus Christ has never changed. The Bible says to me that even though the outward man may be getting weary, but constantly we are being renewed day by day on the inner man, we can trust in the faithfulness of the living God. Why? Because of the things that we have talked about. He knows everything. He's all powerful. He's everywhere. He can never change. And he's a faithful, living, and loving God. My friends, if there is anything else that you'd want to receive in this sermon, receive this one thing. Rest your soul in the faithfulness of him alone. If you put your trust in anything else, they are constantly changing. Put your trust in your comforts, those change. And this is not trying to threaten anybody, but as a believer, we have a bigger picture. We have to constantly see something bigger than our surrounding. We got to trust in God and know he is a faithful God. And God, who is not a man, he says he's a God that shows mercy to them that love him. He is the faithful God. We can trust him. You can trust God while you're driving down the road. We live in days that driving becomes more dangerous each day. You probably you're the only sober man there. I was told in driving school, everybody is a madman on the road except you. But each day as you get up and say, God, as I start on this engine, I'm going to my job. God, you're faithful. You will take care of me. You'll take care of my children. You will watch over them. Let's trust in the faithfulness of the living God, because that's exactly what he is. May this word speak to somebody's life to stop trusting in anything else, but to trust in the faithfulness of God. Each day, given to us as a promise, as a gift from the Father, we can trust in his faithfulness. You can trust in his faithfulness about your family, about your situation, about your job, even about the church. Trust in God's faithfulness. I want to invite you for a word of prayer this morning. And let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. That in the name of Jesus, our Father, who has raised Jesus from the dead, we give you praise, we give you glory, we honor your name. We come to you by faith, trusting in your faithfulness today. Because you're all-knowing, you're all-powerful, you're everywhere, you change not, you're truthful. And because of your promises, God, we once again turn around and look unto you as our source of hope, the living God. My prayer today, that God will trust you in your faithfulness to provide for our needs. Trust in your faithfulness to heal even the sicknesses that may be in our bodies today. We're struggling with one disease and the other. But God, I thank you because of your faithfulness. You're still able to raise us up. We want to trust you again as a church, the body of the saints, the body of Christ, that God will still love you and trust you and see you at work each day. I pray that the name of the Lord be glorified even in this church today and the ministry and the leadership. And God, just hold our hands, hold our arms that we fall not, for we trust in you and we trust in your faithfulness that you would provide for our needs and be with us. Be with our children in school and on the road as we travel. To God be the glory both now and forever. And I pray, trusting in Jesus' mighty name, and God's people say amen. God bless you. Thank you for your time.